The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless. The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. So reliable, it just goes on and on and on.
5515551 is the text number. I'm just kind of randomly saying numbers there, and it came out eventually. Ryan at rte.ie would be the email address. Delighted to tell you that. Let's go straight to Lorraine Leavis. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on, Ryan.
No, please. I am so happy that you've written a book that at last every parent, every teacher, every librarian can go, a manual. What to tell our kids to read, when, how, when and where. So congratulations on bringing this book out. Once Upon a Reader, Raising Your Children with a Love of Books. Well done.
Thank you so much. And I assume you got the check in the post that I sent you to say that.
I got the whopper text. I'm going to save it up in my Pringles can and hopefully it'll make €1,000 in due course. But tell me this, can you lay your credentials on the ground for us, please, Lorraine, and tell us why we should believe you?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Right.
And toot your horn here. Now, this is you're entitled to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's very interesting the way you were talking about the CAO points. And I always thought, you know, going in at the highest level with the most points possible. But English was actually one of my lesser grades, and it was the biggest disappointment of that year. So I went in and I did arts like hundreds of other people in UCD. But so instead of going into the high-rise levels of publishing that I hoped to, I got a part-time job in a bookshop, and it was the best thing I ever did. And I started off in my local bookshop in Nace, Barker & Jones, and I had my fourth-year work experience in there, and I basically never left. I stayed there for 6 years part-time, working mainly in the children's section. I then moved on to Dubray Books on Grafton Street, where they gave me a chance to commute from Nace in for my shifts, and then ended up as the children's bookseller in Dubray and Black Rock, where I stayed for about 3 years. And honestly, the best and most educational 3 years of my life were spent in that shop, getting to know the customers and the people and the parents and the children who, you know, at the end of the day, just wanted to find something to read. And it was absolutely lovely. I now work for the lovely team at Penguin Random House Ireland, working with their kids' books.
Okay, good, great bunch of... Actually, all the way along, you've been working with a great bunch of like-minded souls, which is a nice career trajectory. What did you want to be when you were little?
A vet.
Ah, very good. So absolutely couldn't be further removed. But you probably recommend a lot of My Family and Other Animals and things like that for kids.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And growing up on the family farm as well, I thought I'd go in the footsteps. But sure, my parents are very proud.
I'm sure they are, and rightly so. Now listen, let's get down to business. Tell me about the exasperated parent, Lorraine, who comes in and says, she points at the child and says, they just aren't into it. What do you say?
Well, the first thing I usually say is I say, right, Mum and Dad, would you mind going over to the other side of the shop and looking at something different?
Yes, get rid of them.
Yes, because needless to say, whenever parents say to me they're not reading, it's usually that they're not reading the book that Mum and Dad wants them to read.
Well done, yeah.
And whenever you actually get down on their level and say to young Jimmy, here, what do you actually like talking about, they usually say Fortnite or Pokemon. And so whenever you talk to them about that, you'd be amazed how many avenues there are to go whenever you've got a child in front of you that absolutely does not want to read the books that Mum and Dad loved. And that's totally fine. It's totally valid. Their life experience is completely different to ours. And so, of course, the stuff that they're going to read and they're going to want to read will be completely different, but just as valid.
You say in your introduction to the book says, first things first, thank you for opening this book. If you have, you're either my mother or you're curious about how best to introduce and maintain a love of reading. So your book is quite, it's mischievous is the way I'd say it. It's not a boring manual tome to kind of, you know, there's humour in it. And you also do something which I thought was quite intriguing, which was you're not anti-technology. And in fact, right on the contrary, you say that the games that you mentioned, Fortnite, whatever it might be, don't write them off.
No. Definitely not. And realistically, you know, we can be as anti-technology as we want, but it's not going anywhere. And for our young people especially, it's not going anywhere. And so we need to respect that. And we also need to respect that their social avenues and the way they interact with the world is different from the way we do. Now, I'm from the generation that had that first inkling of the internet when we were younger. Mm. And so we grew up with it in a sense. But these kids are totally immersed from the time they're able to get their hands on any form of technology. And it's in their schools, it's in their friends' hands. Their social life follows them home in their pocket in the evening.
Yeah.
And so we need to respect that, you know, teach them how to respect technology in itself. But also whenever we're talking about stories, we're talking about books, we need to respect that, you know what, we can use technology to help them with that, either with, you know, e-books, audio books, you know, even gaming. Like, I have a whole chapter in the book about how, you know, video games and gaming, it's the new frontier of storytelling. And you get the most amazing immersive experiences from gaming, and we need to respect that as well, even if we would prefer that they didn't spend 12 hours of the day in front of the computer.
No, but you're right, we need to cohabit, and it makes perfect sense. Chapter titles: Finding the Perfect Book, Reading by Stage, Why Did They Stop Reading, Ways to Foster a Love of Reading, Books That Deal with Difficult Issues, Books in Irish, and Useful Resources for Parents. You cover every angle. The other line I like is, take the term guilty pleasure, throw it in the bin, and then take the bin out and set it on fire. So why such passion with the term guilty pleasure?
I think because I spent so many years in bookshops hearing people come in and they say, can I have X book? I know it's terrible. I know it's trash, but it's my guilty pleasure. Do you have it? And I hated it. I hated it so much. As a grown woman who reads primarily children's and teen books, I have no time for people who are in any way ashamed of what they like to read.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're not all reading Ulysses and, you know, these high,
yeah,
you know, bits of literature to try and further our education. You know, some of us just want to sit down and read a book and go away for a while. And so I want people to realize that if they go into a bookshop and they ask for, I'm not going to name any authors because I wouldn't want to,
yes,
you know, insult any sensibilities. But if they want to go in, you know, the person behind the counter probably reads it as well, you know, and with kids especially, they shouldn't be ashamed of being interested in what they're interested in, because you never know, that's going to be the thing that, you know, they're passionate about and they run off and they become the next Bill Gates. Who knows? You know, we need to, again, respect what they're interested in.
We have a couple of messages. Rachel says, I have a 10-year-old boy who has dyslexia, hates reading. Our house is full of books. I have so many lovely books and graphic novels and beautifully illustrated books. Can't get him interested in any of them. How do I nurture a love of books in a child with dyslexia? Can you help?
Well, the first thing I'll say, and I mention it in the book, is that one of the best booksellers I've ever worked with has dyslexia.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. He's one of my colleagues in Dubray and BlackRock, and he used to hate me a little bit because every time somebody came in and said, oh, I have a child with dyslexia, how do I get them to read? I'd just drag him across the shop and I'd say, here, talk to him.
Mm.
Because, fair enough, it is more difficult. Nobody can say that it's not. And, of course, it is a condition. Nobody can say, just get over it and,
exactly,
and start reading. I would say, first of all, look into the resources that are available. Barrington Stoke would be the main one. They're a publisher that prints books, especially for people, young people, children with dyslexia. They print it on a certain type of paper that is easier for them to read. I would also say, have that conversation. Maybe look into what books you have lying around. And I'm sure they're all amazing and brilliant, but just make sure they are genuinely the things that he's interested in.
Okay. You even say that in your book, the last page is dyslexia.ie. Go there,
yeah,
for a bit of guidance and check that out. I absolutely loved Lorraine in Dubray in BlackRock. She instilled a love of books into my two boys. She was so enthusiastic and passionate, wishing her the best with her new book. And I can concur with that. You just have a lovely way about you when you're dealing with people, because people can be nervous. I mean, I'm too cocky, but people can be nervous coming up to a bookseller and admitting that they can't get their child to read, or admitting that they don't know where to begin. But we can't replicate you in every shop around the country. But all the bookshops we've got are tweeting like mad about you, because they seem to know who you are and what you do. Not that they seem to, but they do. And they're raving about you because you obviously know. You're like the book doctor.
Well, I have to say, like, the first thing I'll say is that never be nervous going in and talking to your bookseller.
Okay.
Because they, especially now, I can speak for especially for children's booksellers, you will never find a kinder, more knowledgeable group of people. And even if you don't, even if your local bookshop doesn't have necessarily a children's bookseller, you'd be surprised. Like, the adult booksellers will have a general knowledge of where to go or where you should start. And, you know, I would never say that I'm any better or worse than any of the people in there. They're just fantastic.
You're on top of everything in the sense that, you know, the chapter on consent, and you've got picture books for kids aged 3 to 7, 7 to 11, 12 to 14 and beyond. And again, one of the things I love about the book is that you print the cover of the book in full colour beside the description. So it makes it even easier. You could bring yours in, this book in with you and say, there it is. You don't even have to talk to the bookseller if you don't want to. Just go in and say, that's the one I want. I've known Lorraine for years, says Eleanor, and I'm so hugely proud of her for becoming a published author. This book is wonderful and is a must-have for anyone with children in their lives. Another says, that lady is a breath of fresh air. Parents that deny their children technology are doing them a huge injustice. My little boy plays Fortnite, considers himself to be a gamer, but he has also read Chronicles of Narnia, Lord of the Rings, etc. Huge fantasy hard hitters all combine with the gaming to help my 10-year-old to be incredibly creative. He has started writing his own fantasy novel. I think that will come as a relief, Lorraine, to hear you say that, you know, a bit of gaming, a bit of technology, like everything. We all have to, you know, walk hand in hand together.
Absolutely. And I'm not the biggest gamer in the world. There's a few ones that I would play, but my fella now, he'd be a big gamer, and I would literally just sit on the couch and wait for the cutscenes to see the story. Because the plot in these games, in these huge, huge worlds, it's actually extremely immersive and incredibly interesting.
Yeah, yeah, and takes you somewhere entirely different. Deirdre Gleeson was on. I'm just desperate for a book recommendation for my 12-year-old son. He's read all the Percy Jacksons, all the David Walliams. He's the only one of all his friends who hasn't a phone, so I really need a book that'll get him hooked. So he's probably moving slightly beyond that world now, Lorraine.
Yeah, I would say go for the likes of Alex Rider. Go for a good action series.
Horowitz.
Yeah, can't go wrong with Horowitz.
Can't go wrong with Horowitz. And what would give us one, if you can, off the top of your head, a suggestion for even beyond that again for that child?
Ooh, that's interesting.
It's a hard age, isn't it? You're looking at 13, 14.
Like the likes of The Maze Runner, that series, the James Dashner, they were the ones that really caught the attention of a lot of... Because the slightly older teen boy, that's a really, really key stage that we find that kids are dropping off reading.
Okay.
You know, because you find that a lot of the time, the books aren't necessarily catered. Like the really, really big books for the teen YA audience are traditionally, you can say, catered towards girls. There's a lot of romance, there's a lot of first love and all that kind of stuff. But the sort of dystopian phase that we went through a few years ago with The Hunger Games created a bubble effect that has some really, really good series, you know, that has your action and your adventure and technology especially. I know James Dasher had another series about, it was basically about getting stuck in a video game. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, combining all the greats. I've found that asking my reluctant reader to read his younger sister her bedtime story marked the beginning of his personal enjoyment of books. It also improved his English at school. Now that he's 12, it is a battle to get him to turn off his light. We are so pleased. The joy of books is a gift, so parents, please persevere. What a clever move. Get the reluctant reader to read the story to the younger brother or sister. That's a good move.
That's actually so lovely.
Clark. Fiona, do you think it's too late to start reading at 16? I have a son who's very reluctant.
Oh, absolutely not. I will say that it's a bit harder because, like, of course, with anything, if you grow up with something and if you grow up with it being an everyday part of your life, it's going to be a lot easier because it's just something that you naturally do. But again, just like any other stage, what are they interested in?
Okay.
You know, go online, just Google book and what they're interested in. You'd be amazed what comes up.
And another, my son and myself both have dyslexia and we love audiobooks, which is, are the kids' audiobooks market, is that market big or would you recommend it?
It's fabulous. It's an amazing market and they've got some brilliant names. Like one thing I love is whenever you have a new book coming out and they announce who's doing the audiobook.
Yeah.
Because I feel like every actor, and especially actually during the pandemic, there have been lots of reports of people putting pillows under their bed so that they can sit under it and record audiobooks. Because it was a great way to have something to do when they couldn't leave the house.
Yes.
And so there's an amazing amount of stuff out there.
Again, just to remind people, the book will books that deal with difficult issues and every issue is dealt with. There's a book for every story. That's why we keep saying that to kids who are reluctant readers, you don't dislike reading, you just haven't met the right book yet. It's waiting for you. Another says, comics used to be a no-no for me growing up in a very bookish household, but it was the most important route into reading for my son.
Absolutely.
Can't beat a good comic.
No, definitely not. And I will absolutely recommend as well that as in the same way you can talk to your local children's bookseller, comic book shops, you know, going in and finding your local comic book shop, there's one in Dundrum, Big Bang, fabulous shop. And right. They are so... They, any age of a child you bring in there, they will find something. All age comics are a huge market at the moment. They're not necessarily all gritty, you know, murdery Batmans at the moment.
Okay. That's a category in itself.
Yeah.
Murdery Batman. Sinead says Henry Winkler, who we'll know as the Fonz, who was a guest of ours on Tubridy 9,000 years ago, is dyslexic and wrote some children's books for children who have dyslexia. So that's worth keeping in mind. Are the people, Lorraine, who work in bookshops generally quite happy, asks this person, or maybe content working where they do? I've never met a person who is cranky who works in a bookshop. Lorraine sounds great.
I know, I would agree with that. Now, fair enough, we all have cranky days, and any day in retail when you're on your feet all the time, and especially around a certain time of year that we don't want to mention, it can be tough. But the customers that come in and you make a genuine connection with, it makes the career path all the more amazing. You know, it's something that you don't get in other careers. People come into bookshops to... on the toughest days of their lives, on the best days of their lives, and you get to hear all of the stories. It's a fantastic place to work.
No doubt about it. Listen, it's been so good to talk to you. This book comes with a 100% endorsement from me for whatever that's worth. You've compiled a wonderful selection of suggestions for people. If I was stuck as an adult, I'd get this tomorrow, if not today. And schools, libraries, teachers, or just parents broadly speaking, will really appreciate this. It's a beautiful production from Currick Books. And congratulations for pulling it together so well. Lorraine, nice to talk to you. Mind yourself and good
luck
with
it
all.
Thank you so much, Ryan.
Take it easy. Yeah. That's Lorraine Leavis joining us there live this morning with her book, Once Upon a Reader, Raising Your Children with a Love of Books. What a great, great production. And must feature that again later on in the year, because it's a manual for those who are going, how are we going to get these books into the children's hands? Great result. 10 to 10.